I ministered last week in Gardens in Cape Town because Tien's Jacobs' baby was dedicated. And my wife was so surprised because the service was relatively short. So I hope to surprise her this morning as well. She's like, jy het so kort gepreek. Kan jy dit nie altyd doen nie? So I'm going to try that. Good news, I just want to mention that, wow, we had an amazing youth camp. And we're more than 60 youths there. Thank you, some of the guys were there ministering last weekend. Cheslin, Yella, well done, really well done. You guys really enjoyed it, and I'm so glad. And the ladies in India are really doing well, the mission team there, they're really doing well. They will return this week. But God is good, many people come to salvation there. It's really amazing. Dale last week ministered a really powerful word. Please find it on the internet. Please find it on our website. Please listen to it. It is his testimony of God's grace in his life. But the one thing which I take from it, apart from God's faithfulness and answer to prayer, from delivering him from a life of bondage, the one thing that was really powerful for me, that what I want to pick up on, is that he ministered and that he said that the thing that eventually, where God's power really came through after lots of prayer. So it's not the only thing, but it's the one thing that really that I'm focused on, is that the Word of God is a sword. The sword of the Spirit. And then when he started to agree with God's Word and spoke, that's when his addiction actually really changed and broke. And it's not just that, but I want to focus on that. And if you were to ask me, Ross, if there are three things, and I'm reflectively 15 years in ministry, but if I were to look back, if there are three things I so wish that everyone that comes into our church gets, the one thing that I celebrated this morning is selfless servitude. You know, that in Christianity we are focused, and there's so much about so many good things happening all around the world in the church where people minister about the power of God and focus on the power of God and seek the power of God, and I'm so blessed with it. But Paul in two places and Peter in another place said that we are, and this is the phrase that they use, we are blessed. They've received power to serve, blessed to serve. They've been empowered to serve. And Christ as well. He's the servant of Christ that has been empowered. The Spirit of the Lord God rests upon him to serve. And that's the one thing I really wish that everyone that comes through this ministry, that they get that. That we are blessed to serve God and to serve people. It's not about a power struggle, and I don't see any of this here ever. So praise God. But that's the one thing. And then I'm not going to go through everything. But the second thing that I really want, it's one of the first sermons I've ever preached. I've been looking at this first messages that I preached in 2002 and 2003. So actually, some of the stuff is really good, I must say. I'll go back, because you've got this idea in your head that it must have been really bad. It's terrible. But not all of them. The text was good, at least. I don't know about the delivery, but the text was really good. But the one thing is really just the concept of sonship. The concept of I'm created in God's image to rule with God. We are destined to reign, says Romans. Timothy says the same thing. We are destined to reign. We are meant to reign. God, why do you consider us? You made us little lower than yourself. You crowned us with glory and honor. You set all things under our feet. We're destined to reign in God. And it's something that I don't always see and that I don't always hear. And I don't always, when I listen to the prayers that we pray, when we pray together, some of you feel guilty, but I've never listened to your prayers, so it's fine. But how we pray, it's great. The fundamental substance of prayer is supplication, petitioning, asking God for stuff, and it's really good. But then there are prayers that we pray that we don't ask God for stuff. We simply speak to the dog in my house. Oh God, please let the fox terrier get out of my... God, it's peeing on my couch. Oh God, you'll be praying. And then your wife will say to you, just tell the dog to leave. Futsak. Go. Out. And sometimes we need to pray those prayers. And I think the thing that really shifted for me is the first time that I experienced deliverance. It's great. There is a deliverance from petitioning God for stuff. But then there is a deliverance where you simply just say, hey, perversion, in Jesus' name, you get the hell out of my thoughts. And that's a very biblical phrase, get to hell out of my thoughts. That's a very biblical thing to say to a demon. Where you command it to go in Jesus' name. shaping moments in my life was when I prayed for a man, and I thought I'm going to pray him forever, and I didn't really want to pray him. I just wanted him to get saved. I'm not going to tell the whole story. Richard, he was an older man. Well, if I think about it now, he's as old. I was 21, but he's 30. He was 38. He's as old as I am now. Anyway, so Richard, I prayed for the man in Eisner, and I thought I'm going to pray for a long time because I just wanted this guy to get saved. And he was complaining about knee stuff the whole time. And then eventually, and this is God teaching me a lesson, so it's not always the right thing to do. But eventually I was so frustrated because I so badly want this guy to get saved because he's not saved and he's not interested to hear the gospel. He's just complaining about his knees the whole time. And then I place my hand on his knees and I say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And that was the prayer. So did I pray to God? No, I simply spoke to his knees. And it immediately got healed. But it's me taking charge of the situation and speaking healing in Jesus' name. And you'll see that so many of the healings in the Bible was like that. It's not a petitioning to God. It is a partnership with God. It is ruling with God. One point, just a situation, was on the beach, same ministry team. I mentioned this before. It was raining, Hartenbosch. It was a outreach, Go SA beach outreach. Not very, very effective beach outreach when it's raining because there's no one on the beach except the ministry team. And then we thought maybe we should go home. And it's a shaping moment which stays with me because we were praying, God, take the rain away, da-da-da-da-da. And then I just clearly heard God say to me, Ross, just the story of Jesus standing on the stern of the boat, speaking to the storm and say, get away. He didn't say in Jesus' name because he was Jesus. But I remember that picture and I just felt the Lord saying, no, look up and speak to the clouds and say, be gone. And I did that. And it's like instantaneously and immediately it opened up as according to my word, from this point to that word, be open in Jesus' name. And when we packed up the sound after the outreach, because, 10 minutes, Hartenbosch, December, 10 minutes, and the whole beach was full of people. We did our outreach. People got saved. People got filled with the Spirit of God. After the 2 hours of ministry, we packed up the stuff and we left. But it's that same principle where we were asking God for a long time, but nothing happened until we speak to the clouds and we say, be gone in Jesus' name. And those are principles and things that just stay in my head when we take authority over a situation. So I'm going to read this to you and then we're going to do some ministry. But I want to just agree with Dale that we need to align our words and our thoughts with God's word. And I think the big thing that I want us to shift is that we are not left as victims on this earth to circumstance, to our emotions, or to things. Can we agree with that? We're not left as perpetual victims to whatever happens with us. Sins of the past, problems of the past, economic things. And I'm not going to preach prosperity, so I'm not even going to mention the money from now onwards. Because it's not about the money, it's about our lives in Christ. We're not meant to be always victims to everything happening around us. Can we please tell our prayers that? Can we please tell our spouses that? Can we tell the people at work that? That we are meant to reign in this life in Christ. And we're not going to speak about exalting ourselves as gods, but it's simply the concept of sonship. It is simply the concept of sonship. It's the concept of I'm reigning with God, and if God reigns, I'm not a victim. It's like a prince walking it's like Prince Harry walking around in England. Well, at the moment, I'm sure he's having lots of... He probably had Brexit this morning, anyway. So, it's like him walking around in his own country. Is he the ruler? No, he's not the ruler of the nation. But God knows he's very confident when he walks around here because his mom is, theoretically, the ruler in that nation. It's that concept of sonship, the concept of princehood is reigning with Christ with the attitude to serve. But the point is, we're not left as victims asking God for everything. Surely Jesus said, if I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And it's amazing. You can look at this text so many times. You know where it comes from? Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, walked past a fig tree. He wanted fruit out of season, but that's a very, that that whole fig tree thing is a very big lesson. It really happened, but it's a big lesson for the Jews who saw themselves as God's fig tree. So he walked past this fig tree and he says, there's no fruit here. And he just says, die. May no one ever eat from you again. And he walks past. And when his disciples walk past the afternoon, they go like, Jesus, you won't believe this. The fig tree that you said must die, it really did die. And Jesus like, oh, guys, how many times have I mentioned this to you? Okay, so let me be general to you now. Whenever, and this is what he says, whenever you think, whenever you, whatever you say from a conviction in your heart, it will happen. And then he states again, you will have whatever you say. So the two things, and you'll see that he three times mentions speaking about the conviction in his heart, and three times he speaks about the power of his mouth. Three times in that simple verse. That really is about speaking from a conviction, but speaking from a conviction. Three times. And that's what Jesus said to them. Whatever you say. I want you to consider about, to consider what you speak and what you say. And I'm not just like generally about asking someone for the salt or stuff like that. When you speak from conviction, what is it that you say? The power of life and death, the next scripture there, is in the mouth. And we know this very well. The power of life and death really is in the... And then, I didn't put verse 20 in there because it messed with the text, with the layout. But death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He's just picking up on the next, on the first part of the parable. The first part of the parable said this, that a man shall be filled with the produce from his lips. And what he's saying in both instances, he's saying, listen, you will live from what you say. In one sense, you're creating the atmosphere in which you will live. And it really is true. In a general sense, emotionally speaking, I mean, if you constantly only see negative stuff and you only speak negative stuff and you constantly only see, oh, alles is bad, alles is slech, oh, I think this is going to be bad, oh, my first day at work, I'm going to be so afraid, everything's going to go bad, oh, I'm going to mess up again probably. You know, what do you think, what will be your, what will be your emotional state at the end of that day? It's probably that. Rarig depressed. If, for those of you who don't believe me, just try that tomorrow. Just tell your spouse beforehand, you're going to try this. Maybe you should really try it. Just for one day. Just one day, but warn everyone beforehand. Or write excuse letters beforehand and say, listen, everyone around me, family, people at work, for one day, I'm going to try this. I'm going to be absolutely negative and pessimistic about everything. And you try that for a day. And then just afterwards, just write apology letters and stuff like that. But then the opposite is also true. There's a proverb, Proverbs 15, that says, "Vir die blymoedige mens bly die lewe 'n fees." Like literally the opposite. For someone who is thankful and constantly glad, everything is good. So when that is also true. But this really speaks more than that. It's not just about your emotional state, because this proverb actually, considering Jesus' words that we read earlier, in generally it speaks, it says, listen, that you will live from what you produce in your mouth. That you will live from what you produce in your mouth. Let me just go through three things, and then we're gonna practice this at the end. The first one, I know that I'm jumping around a lot today. I'm very comfortable with jumping around. I just want to highlight the one principle and see how it goes out when Jesus says that you will have whatever you speak in your mouth. Psalm 42, verse 5. David, again, speaking to his own emotions, saying, why are you so depressed? Why are you so I think this is a song, Sons of Korah again. Why are you so cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Come on, Ross, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. He is the salvation of my face, the salvation of my countenance. With David, and again does this in many other of his other psalms, he just speaks to himself. The first thing that you take charge of, that I want to challenge you, is to take charge of your emotions. How many of you also enjoyed that amazing movie, the animation that came out, Inside Out? I really like that. I really enjoy that, and Nathan loves it, and it's very good that we showed Nathan that, because Nathan is generally a very happy child, but every now and then when he gets moany, we just Magriet taught him saying, Nathan, wie bly in jou kop? Dan sê hy, joy bly in my kop. Dan sê hy, okay, nou sê for yourself dit. Joy lives in my head, and it's a happy thing. It's a good thing, because joy is in there, and he's controlling his emotions. The problem with that movie, and I mean, I enjoy the movie, and my kids love it, and it's real educational for me and for them as well. The problem with the movie is that many people do believe this, that my emotions control my life. I've got these emotions in my head, and I can't help it, but they're controlling my circumstances. And that is not biblically true. Where I'm not going to allow the sad, moany girl to control my life. I will not dictate it. And that's the story here. And David and the psalmist are doing this all the time. They're speaking to themselves, speaking to a man in the mirror. I'm looking at a man in the mirror. And looking at the man in the mirror, he's just saying, okay, so David, this is enough. Why are you so depressed, my boy? What's wrong with you? I'm telling you to change your attitude. I'm telling you to hope in God. You will not dictate my life. Emotions will not dictate my life. It's a really important thing, and that's the difference between one of the definitions between a mature and an immature person. Just person, not Christian, just a person. An immature person allows their emotions and their environment to change and dictate everything about them. They are constantly thrown about by everything. If the economy drops, if someone hoots at them in the traffic, if your husband doesn't make you coffee in the morning, you know, like your whole day is thrown because, yeah, you're ugly with me, no. Well, and it can't work. And you've worked with people like that probably. I hope you're not the person that other people work with. Because really it is a mess, and ek vat nou 'n bietjie langer hier, but I really want you to get this. I really want to lay this down, that we do not allow our emotions to dictate the functionality or the purpose or the direction of my life. I will not always be in response to the people out there, to what people throw at me, and I'm like a little bit of seaweed, James says, a little bit of seaweed that gets thrown about, you know, when every wave comes, the wave goes there, I go there, happy, sad, happy, sad. We're not like that. We're meant to reign. And this is what he says. How do we take charge? How does David take charge of his emotions? He looks at the mirror. He looks at the water pool and he says, David, that's it. I will not allow heaviness to take control of me. Hope in God. Be joyful. Be hopeful. Expect. Hope means expecting the great. Expecting the excellent outcome. Expecting the beauty. And he says, I'm expecting God. And when he writes this, it's a bad situation in his life, but he's saying, I will not be depressed. Because, you know, just because Absalom, my own son, is trying to kill me and has mounted a whole army, I'll not be depressed about that. I'll hope in God. I'm expecting God to be up. So, David, smile. Cheer up, boy. Let's get on with life. God is good. God is on my side. I will not allow a simple invasion and an army and my own boy trying to kill me to dampen my emotions. Have a great day. If you say it like that, it does change the perspective a bit. Anyway, and it's the same. It's not just for heaviness. It's not just for depression. It's also for fear. He says, listen, surely I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child. He says, anxiety will not reign over me. And you've heard David say this 1,000 times in the Psalms. He says, though an army may encamp against me, I'll be confident. I will not fear. And when he does that, it's not an education for people to say about his state. The reason why he wrote the song is to say that I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I don't care what happens. I don't care in this context, Psalm 27. It's like when Absalom and the whole army is, when King Saul and the whole army is persecuting him. Then he says, listen, I will not be afraid. Though 1,000 fall on my left hand side and 10,000 on my right hand side, I will not be afraid. With my God, I can mount over a wall. But I will not allow my emotions to take charge of me and to dictate my responses. I am trusting in God. God is my source. I will be blessed because God is my source. David, Dallas Willard, that man has blessed me so many times. He's passed away 2 years ago now. But this one phrase that he wrote stays with me. He says, I'm still waiting. He says in a more theological, philosophical way, I'm going to dumb it down for myself. Yeah. He's saying, I'm still waiting to see a man being blessed elsewhere where God is and where God has him at that moment. What he's trying to say is, doesn't matter where you go in life, God is God and God blesses you there. So many times we think, oh, God bless me by putting me there in that situation. And then I will be blessed. And David says, the fullness of God is here. God is right here. God blesses you where you are. Bless. God does good to you, speak good to you, and does good to you so that your soul is in a good state where you are now. And this is the reason why we don't allow circumstance or emotions to dictate our course in life. Take charge of it. Listen, I'm going to say this again. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen by mental assent or by philosophy. How do you take charge of your emotions? Open your mouth. Speak to the man in the mirror. You got to speak it. I didn't know this. My wife and I had the same thing. That's why I'm smiling. Because that's why small group is so important. I get to know what's happening in my wife's life. It's so amazing. We have conversation. Small group on Wednesday, last week at some point, you know, things were just a bit heavy with me or within the house or whatever. And not tense, just wasn't cheerful or happy. And so I, at one point, I just meditated on this and I just spoke into my own state and into the house. I'm saying, in Jesus' name, my house will be filled with joy. My house will be filled with laughter. My house will be filled with smile. And I just do a bit of biblical meditation, speaking into my house. In a small group, I heard my wife doing the same thing. She said, no, drove home from work, and she just opened her mouth and spoke into her own state and into the house. And I'm like, wow, that's why we had a great time last week. Thank you. Apathy. Carelessness. Listen, maybe all you need to do is meditate and memorize Psalm 57. If you're still struggling to get out of bed, to spend time with God, this is a good conversation to have. Psalm 57, verse 7 to 9. Wake up, O my soul, you will praise God. Good memory verse right there. And it doesn't help to be in your head, it's got to be in your mouth. You take charge of your apathy, of your laziness, right here. You take charge of it, and you say, wake up, O my soul, you will praise God. God is here, God is awake, I'm going to be with God, I'm going to be awake. There is a time when you need to sleep, that's why. Anyway, but I'm going to go on. So the first one is just in your emotions. And your emotions and thoughts are very similar. But with thoughts, I want to take in charge of your thoughts. This is a well-known scripture. The first murder, the first rage recorded in the Bible, the first one actually to happen, is Cain. And I love this bit of the narrative, of the story of how it happened, the insight that was recorded in the Bible, where the Lord came to Cain. Because the man, his face dropped. The Bible says his face dropped. He was depressed. He was heavy. He was moody. And the Lord came to him and said, Cain, why are you so depressed? Why is your face fallen? Why so moody? Why so moody? And then the Lord said to him, because the Lord was seeing what he was meditating and thinking on, he's saying, if you do well, won't you also be accepted? If you do well, won't your offerings also be accepted like your brothers? You're jealous and bitter because your brother is approved by me and his offering is accepted, but yours is not. And now you're angry at your brother because he has something which you want, but you can have the same thing. And then the Lord just says to him, knowing where the story is going, he says, and if you do not do well, then sin is creeping at your door. It's lying at the door. It's like a robber standing right outside the door right there. And its desire is to rule over you. Sin desires to rule over you, but you should rule over it. So Cain was there, sitting in his tent, very angry at his brother. Tent, I'm assuming a tent, probably at a house, massive house. Anyway, standing there, and he's a grain farmer, and sin is at the door, and he's angry at his brother, and he's thinking, I want to be approved by God. Why is my brother always the chosen one? Why is he always the one that is amazing? Why the firstborn? Why is he so amazing? And then he gets angry, and from anger and jealousy comes rage, and from rage come thoughts of murder. And the Lord's saying, you should have stopped that thought long time ago. That thought in your head, that temptation to do violence to your brother, you should take charge of it. Don't allow thoughts to run around crazy in your head. Very simple story. Don't allow it. James picks up on this in James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. And James says, listen, we all know this, and he's pointing back to the story. He's saying, we all know this, that sin comes as this thought. And then you find the thought pleasing, and then you desire the thought. And he says, if you mull over it, eventually you do it. And then it produces death in your life. And whether it's adultery, whether it's murder, whether it's theft, whether it's lying, whether it's whatever you want it to be, it's the same thing. It starts as a thought, an idea, a temptation, something that's wagged in front of you and go like, I think I will be blessed if I have this. I want this. Ooh. The next moment you go all Indian on yourself and then you do it. It's amazing. Very simple thing. Take charge of the thoughts. How do you take charge of the thoughts, of a temptation? Very simple, the same way we just said. You open your mouth and you say, I will not have that. I will not do this. The Word of God says, no liar will enter into the pit. I will not lie myself out of this situation. Very simple thing. You open your mouth and you do it. In the Air Force, when I was in HQ, I sometimes had this temptations coming to my head the whole time. Now I'm sitting next to Henny Bingle. Any bingle, it's so gepraat. You probably listen to one of my sermons at some point, and then you'll hear that I mimic him. Anyway, but he's Captain Any Bingle, and Captain Ross van der Kerk sat here. And then this temptation would come in, and it won't leave me. And sometimes I just open my mouth quietly, and I just go, in Jesus' name, no. And then I just rebuke the temptation that comes up. I will not. And it doesn't go, because it's a very boring atmosphere. So I think I just wanted to sin to entertain myself, probably. So I would sit there in the office, and I'd excuse myself, and I'd go to the bathroom. It's a bulletproof building. It's a HQ, Air Force HQ. And then I'd close the doors, and I'd speak to myself, and I'd say, in Jesus' name, I will not sin in this way. I'm a holy man. I will not do this in Jesus' name. Very simple. And then I go back, you know, and sometimes I had to verskoon myself 2 or 3 keer in a year, and he'd probably think I'm crazy. Anyway, but the point is, I didn't sin. Because I open my mouth and I say, I will not. It's a very simple thing. You just agree with the Word of God in your mouth. You take charge over your thoughts. And it's the same whether you've got thoughts of jealousy, jealous rage. I had one time, I had a crazy month or two when I came back from Malawi. Just my mind was whacked. It was an incident that happened there. And I had to control. And literally, all I had to do is love thinks no evil. Simple. That was my word, my sword that I had for that 2 months. Love thinks no evil in Jesus' name. Ross, you will not think like this. And I had to stop my thoughts because the thoughts has one direction. You can just play the movie forward. If I continue with this thought, what will my life be? And it's one of those sobering moments. You just go like, I will not go down this road. You take charge of it. And how do you do it? You open your mouth and you speak. Some of you are struggling with habits. Train another habit by simply opening your mouth and by rebuking those thoughts. Very simple thing. And then you take charge of your circumstance. I just love this picture. How's it hanging? You take charge of your circumstances. I'm going to read this scripture to you, just so that you see what's happening. Jesus, wanting to go to the other side, to the Gadarenes, to preach and minister there as well, the Samaritans, the pagans. On the boat, disciples with him. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, just like a sheep. He was counting sheep, and then Jesus fell asleep. Anyway, as he sailed, he fell asleep. And a storm wind came into the lake, and they were being filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, Master, Master, we're perishing. Then being aroused, Jesus woke up, walked to the stern, did a Titanic scene right there, and he said, wind, be still, waves, calm down. And then he turned around at them, and they were like, and he said to them, why do you wake me up? Where's your faith? And I love the story. Where's your faith? Why did you have to wake me up for this thing? Why didn't you do this? And it's a teaching moment, and it's a powerful moment. Because just before that, Jesus said, whatever you say, mountain, jump in the sea, it will be done according to your word. It's a really powerful principle. Sometimes we have the authority to end the crazy storm in our life. And we do this thing, oh, Jesus save me, and it's great. I sometimes think, Jesus, maybe it's time for you to do that. Not that you don't need Jesus, but maybe there are times when you just go like, okay, this is enough, in Jesus' name. I don't care. This ends here. This storm ends here. This craziness in my house where everything freaking just breaks up, it ends here. The chaos of everything happening at my work, in Jesus' name, it ends here. The cycle of failure, it ends here, now, in Jesus' name. I will not be a victim to the cycle of failure anymore. Whatever it is, that's how I passed my degree eventually, my engineering. I've mentioned this before 50 times, I think, where at the beginning of my fourth year, fifth year, I just had enough of failing. And I go like, this is just crazy. I'm done with this. And it's not as though failing is a magical force out there. It's this boy, laziness and distraction. But the point is, it ended when I had my textbook one by one. I was there a week earlier for studies. And I got my textbook for the year, and I stand on top of it, and I say, engineering maths, in Jesus' name, this year. Just a practical example for my faith. It has nothing to do with the book. It wasn't the book's fault, but I'm standing on top of the book by means of an illustration and saying, in Jesus' name, I will master you. You will not master me this year. Next whoopee. Electronica 345. 345, I'm in my fifth year. You get what I'm saying? Saying in Jesus' name, this year, I'm mastering you. And it's amazing. And it happened like that, according to my word. I did well. It's not as though the textbooks had any power. The point is not the textbook. The point is, I'm saying this ends here in Jesus' name. This cycle ends here. And it ended fully, finally, forever. Because I took control of the circumstance. The same thing when I had seasons of demonic activity and craziness in my house. You know, when you move to a new place and you take charge of a church there, some crazy things happen. And eventually you go, you fight the demons one by one. But at one point you just come out of your house and you say, in Jesus' name, this is Ross. I'm standing here because God called me here now. And I'm saying this ends here, now, today, in Jesus' name. There will be no more of this craziness in my house. There will be no more demonic activity. There will be no more demons visiting me at night. There will be no more nightmares for my kids. There will be no more sickness and stuff. In Jesus' name, it ends here now. That's it. I'm calling to an end because I think Reinhard Bonnke was right when he says, someone asked, but can a Christian have demons? You know, is it possible to have a demon and the Holy Spirit? And it's all this crazy philosophy. And at one point he just says, listen, can I just say it out loud? A Christian can have whatever he wants. I want to say it differently. A Christian can have whatever he permits. You will have whatever you permit. May someone break into my house? No. Does it happen? Yes, all the time. Unless I stop it. Sometimes you have the authority to call a season to end. And it's not as though you're this awesome God, but let me be honest. You have the power to kill someone right now. Should you? No, you shouldn't. But do you have the power to do it? Yes, you have the power to do that. It happens every day in Cape Town. The point is, you have authority because you're created in God's image. You have the power to give life or the power to end life. I'm going to say, don't you want to stand up and take authority to give life? For God's sake. And all the examples I just used now was all examples of your life where things come against you, you know, your emotions, your thoughts, your house, your failure, your academic textbooks, your finances, da 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 da. I want to move beyond that because this is why I want to agree with Dale. It's amazing that in the name of Jesus that we have authority to end things, to end the cycle of death. As the church of Jesus and as a priest of Christ, you have the authority to end things on behalf of other people. There's a whole city that's messed up, a whole city messed up. Where we live mostly, it's well. You can sleep at night. No one's going to come through your door because you've got a sink house with a hammer or a chainsaw or a bale, an axe, and come into your house. You know, we all live in Cape Town, but there are some areas that are better than others. Guys, I'm praying for Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 21. All of creation are eagerly awaiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Can we see the sons of God, please? And in one sense, I think Paul was referring probably to when Jesus returns, we will be glorified with him. So the sons of God there, we will be glorified with him. But I'm thinking there's a temporal thing there as well, because the rest of the text is all temporal. All of creation is eagerly awaiting, yearning to see those who rule with God, the sons of God. Take authority where we live, in your area. Practice it, take authority where you are, but for God's sake, and I mean that, for God's sake, for his sake, grow up so we can take authority for where we live in the area. Let's practice this. Can we practice this? So let me just mention these three things. All you need to do today, everyone's going to practice taking authority for something, but just one or two of us maybe has a cycle of negative death speaking, and all you do is you're complaining and moaning, and you so wish, you're moaning that you're moaning all the time, you know, one of those people. You're complaining, ah, oh, getting a moanial death. Okay, but maybe this is just a time where all you do is this Isaiah 6 thing, where you say, God, life and death are in your tongue, God, but life emanates from you. I just want to agree with you. God, will you please heal my tongue? Will you please heal my tongue? Will you please come and touch my tongue so that I can speak life? God, I need to change the cycle. I'm going to repent of it. I'm going to change my way. Grant me grace. Heal my tongue. Just a simple thing. Clean up. Second thing, I just want to mention this, and I don't really know why I'm mentioning this, but a good man out of the good of his treasure brings forth good, and the evil man out of the evil of his treasure brings forth evil. Jesus is speaking, teaching, giving a teaching, saying some people can't help it, but because of their hearts and their minds and their everything is filled with criticism and negativity, all they do is they just produce death and vile from what comes in. But maybe just a meditation on what is good, storing up what is good. Maybe that's just for one person. And the last one, just speaking up. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but he believes that the things which he says, it will be done, because he will have whatever he says. How do you grow in faith in that context? Just meditate on the bigness of God. And what does God want? God wants holiness. God wants goodness. God wants peace. God wants righteousness. God wants joy, his kingdom to come. Be convinced and convicted. What does God desire and who is God? And you simply just agree with his word. Can we just stand up in small groups? I don't know if this is, Dale, do you think this is a one-on-one thing, or do you think we speak in small groups now? Small groups, okay. Let's do this. As jy besoeker is vandag, is jy welkom om net hier te staan. Jy hoef nie iets te doen nie. As jy 'n ernstige introvert is, mag jy ook net staan. Maar jy moet saggies praat. The extroverts, you just do your thing. It's great. Let's stand up and let's take authority just of any situation. I want you to, maybe you can stand while I'm talking. Marianne, Nico, kan jy kom help asseblief? Guys, this is heavy on my heart. This is everything on my heart. I really want us to live with the conviction that I'm created in God's image to rule, for relationship with him and to rule with him, always relationship and rule with him. If you rule with him apart from relationship, it's called rebellion and sin. But we're meant to reign with God in relationship with God. And for that to happen, we must take charge of our situations where we are. And no longer just live as victims of other people's decisions, of Satan's decisions, of stuff like that. We're meant to reign and to rule. And it first of all starts with our emotions and our own thoughts. Reigning here in Jesus' name. Sin will not have dominion over my emotions or my thoughts anymore. It's done. And maybe that's all where you are today. Maybe that's the only thing where you are. It will not have authority or dominion over your mind and over your thoughts. You will not be swayed by everyone's decisions or emotions or activities and stuff and like that anymore. But in Jesus' name, depression and heaviness, it goes up. I acknowledge that there is a medical diagnosed thing like depression. So I'm not saying that everyone with depression or bipolar sickness is, I acknowledge that. But in the same breath, I'm going to say that I haven't seen many people that actually practice taking authority over their heaviness when they come and they say they struggle with depression. Not medical depression, just, I don't know, I'm not going to go into that thing now. But taking authority over it, over heaviness, and even just joylessness and stuff like that. So I want us to practice that now in Jesus' name. And you're going to open your mouth and you're going to speak to this mountain, this thing which is too big for you. And you say, in Jesus' name, it's done. It will be gone. Throw it in the sea, throw it wherever you want to, but you take authority over it. And then the second thing, maybe there's a situation which is too big for you at the moment. It's just too big. Maybe it's at your work. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's a relational breach which is insurmountable. It's too big for you. You can't fix this relationship thing. But in Jesus' name, you will take authority over it now, and we're just going to taste it now. We're going to go on with it now. But I want you to, from a conviction in your heart, speak. Not just from your head, but from a conviction in your heart. Maybe someone is struggling with a big, I'm just going to mention the thing that, a big fear thing, or a big eating disorder, or a big porn addiction thing. But in Jesus' name, you take authority over it now, and you say, it ends now, in Jesus' name. Can we do that? Just from a conviction in your heart. You don't have to scream. But if you scream, we're fine with that now. Everyone, these poor men, but they will take authority over your fear as well. That's fine. But just from a conviction in your heart, speak and we say it ends now. Very simply, in Jesus' name, from a depth in your heart. I want the worship team to just lead us in any worship. But let's take authority and just speak. One by one, you can all speak simultaneously if you're comfortable with that. But just take authority over what it is in your mind, thought, or in your circumstance. And we'll overcome it now in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen. If we can just pause for a moment. LZ just really wants, is convicted. She really wants to share her testimony. Maybe we could keep standing. Okay.
Hi, everyone. I just
want
to quickly share that what Ross was talking about, or speaking about, that was me a few years ago. I really had no control over my emotions or my thoughts. And I was in a place where every day I was just swayed by everyone's decisions, and I felt like I was drowning. Every day I was just hearing the lies of the enemy, just telling me that I'm not good enough and you should just end it all. And every little thing that came to my way was so overwhelming for me, and I just couldn't handle even the smallest situation in my life. And every day I just felt I should just end it all. And even the enemy told me, no, you should end it all. And I even made plans. Every day I thought, now I'll be doing this or this. And I really, it just felt like such a dark place. And I didn't understand where God is. And I felt so unworthy. And I couldn't take captive of my thoughts. And it was just this constant battle of battling this negative emotions and thoughts. And I think the person who can actually describe it even better is my husband, because he had to live with that every day. He's back there, but so one day something drastically happened, and I felt like I had nothing left. I had no one left. And then I just said, I know God was for me, but I couldn't understand, why is nothing changing? Why am I, my thoughts still so dark, and I'm still in this place I can't get out? So I just, that day I stood and I said, Lord, you are all powerful, almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You can change this situation for me. You can change my life. You can change my thought pattern. You can change my emotions so that it will become stable. And I said I asked God that He will take control, because I had no control over that. And He did. Today, the Lord built me up over the last few years to a woman that I never thought that I can become. And I feel loved. I feel confident in who I am. I know that I'm chosen by God, and I just want to encourage all of you, if you feel the same way, God is for you. He can do that for you as well. Just surrender to Him. He is all-powerful, all-loving God, and He will do that.
Thank you, Alzette. Listen, I think we still need to practice it a little bit. Can we just agree on the dos? Just can we pray for something practical in Cape Town? Something, so you know that Cape Town is the highest murder rate in our nation, actually. Nyanga, net die ander kant. So can we just then that? It's a simple thing and it's external. We can understand it. We can identify. The Bible says wherever two agree about anything, it will be done. Can we all simultaneously just take a while in our small groups? You can pray one by one, it's fine, but all of us, can we just focus our attention on the bloedgeweld, the violence? Yeah, and let's just focus our attention just on Delft specifically because we have a congregation there. Let's just spend all our attention there and let's just say in Jesus' name, we say that violence and death and gang violence, it will end there in Jesus' name. Let's just call to an end something which is cyclical. Can we do that? Do we all believe and agree that God is powerful and able to do that?
Amen.
Amen. So let's just do that all simultaneously and then we'll pray about that and then we'll dismiss the service. Amen. I see some of you are done with your prayers. Really welcome to have some coffee. Please see that you invite people to drink coffee with you at the back. But I want an invitation. I want the elders, please, in front. We're going to spend some time in ministry. If there are really people who are struggling, just there's something too big for you. And we'd like to help you to minister and to pray with you. Anything too big for you? Is there anything too big, situation too big for you, and it's really heavy in your heart? We're going to take authority. We'll pray with you. We'll help you pray with you. Okay, God bless you.